Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecott many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me." He said, "They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ. Today I'll be sharing a message called Look Up. This message is for those who have a heart after God and want to be ready for His appearing. This message is dedicated to those who want to fulfill God's plan in their lives in these last days. There's also a message available called Look Up by Joseph Hedgecott, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries. You need to be ready for His appearing. Do not use your mind trying to understand the things of God. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, "But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Rather let conviction set you free through the word, producing an awareness of sin, exposing lies that you're already believing." Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4 verses 12 and 13, I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Verse 13. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do." If you do not like conviction or hearing the truth, you'll not be ready. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 13, 14, and 15, I'm reading. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Verse 14. "Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 15. "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." Joseph Hedgecott has a series of books called Wake Up, Time is Running Out. And I believe you need to start working through this material if necessary. Volume 1 is Foundations for Spiritual Maturity. Volume 2 is Growing Up Spiritually. And Volume 3 is Spiritual Maturity. Nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus said in Luke 21 and verse 9, "But when you shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by." A number of wars have already taken place, and I'm sure those who lived during wartime might have thought the end is near. However, Jesus never said that war is a sign that the end is near. We read in Luke 21, verses 10 and 11, "Then said he unto them, Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." Verse 11, "And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences, and fearful sights, great signs, shall there be from heaven." A total lunar eclipse is not a scientific term, but it's what scientists refer to as a blood moon, because a fully eclipsed moon often takes on a reddish color. The only lunar eclipse of 2019 was witnessed on the 16th of July 2019. A blood moon appears only twice in 3 years, but the number of total lunar eclipses witnessed in a year can vary. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, I'm reading, Acts chapter 2 and verse 19, "And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke." Verse 20, "And the sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord to come." In 2020, the earth saw four penumbral eclipses with the blood moon. The moon goes into the earth's lightest shadow, making the eclipse barely visible. The amazing stage or situation is called penumbral. North and South America saw penumbral eclipse on the 5th of July 2020, and we saw it in Europe and Africa. Following this, on the 30th of November 2020, North and South America saw the last penumbral eclipse, including Asia, Australia, and the Pacific region. The moon at one stage in 2020 was completely covered by the Earth's umbra for over an hour. The entire eclipse, including the penumbral blood moon and the partial phases, took 5 hours and 12 minutes. The Earth at the equator is spinning at approximately 1,000 miles per hour, so the blood moon should have been seen by a lot of people. There are also some significant meteor showers as well towards the end of 2020. On the shortest day of the year, 21st of December 2020, the two largest planets in the solar system lined up in the northern hemisphere, and this was referred to as the Bethlehem Star. This appeared nearly 2,000 years ago at Jesus' first coming. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 7 and 8, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." Verse 8, "And all these things are the beginning of sorrows." The period of the Gentiles will end with sorrows, but there is still time to repent and be saved right up to the day of judgment. The kingdom has been here now for nearly 2,000 years, and the beginning of sorrows is a sign that the end is near. Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. I'm reading Luke 13 and verse 20. "And again he said, Whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God?" Verse 21. "It's like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened." Jesus described the kingdom of God like a lady making bread that became completely leavened by yeast. The kingdom of God has been here since the day of Pentecost, but there's also been a leavening going on for a long time, and it's meant that only those on the narrow way, not leavened by the world, will be ready at his appearing. Most generations have seen a reformer that has brought some repentance and light back into the church. Paul even saw the leavening coming on in the first century. He said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, I'm reading. This is 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1. "And I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." Verse 2. "Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine." Verse 3. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." True theology is the personal study of God, but this has been replaced with facts and knowledge about God. Many listen to false teaching and agree with whatever makes sense to the mind. Christianity has become another religion rather than a relationship with God. Those invited to evangelistic rallies are told to raise their hands or just repeat words without seeking his absolute lordship and the minimum conditions to be saved. They are told that they are righteous just because they prayed the sinner's prayer. We read in Luke chapter 13, verses 23, I'm reading to verse 30. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, starting in verse 23. Then said one unto them, Lord, are there a few that will be saved? And he said unto them, verse 24, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Verse 25, when once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not from where you are. Verse 26, then shall you begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. Verse 27, but he shall say, I tell you, I know you not from where you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. Verse 28, then shall there be weeping and gnashing of teeth, when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourself thrust out. Verse 29, and they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. Verse 30, and behold, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. On the narrow way, you will get to know God and see him provide for your needs. In the last days, you will need to hear the Lord. The church has largely ignored the teachings of Jesus on salvation. Those who have departed from the truth will be judged. Strive to enter now before it's too late. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The striving is learning to ask God the small things, and not using your mind. Once this struggle is over, you will stop sinning and be led by the Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, I'm reading from verses 24 all the way to 27. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Verse 25, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Verse 26, and every one that hears these sayings of mine, and does them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. Verse 27, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The house in that passage is referring to those who have been invited to be part of the kingdom. First, it was the Jews. This is an amazing invitation. It involves glory and honor, and also the privilege to represent God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, I'm reading verses 3 all the way to verse 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, and starting in verse 2. And the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which made a marriage for his son. Verse 3. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Verse 4. And again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. Verse 5. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Verse 6, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. Verse 7, but when the king heard thereof, he was angry, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. Verse 8, then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Verse 9, go ye therefore into the highways, as many as you shall find, bid to the marriage. Verse 10, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all, as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Verse 11, and when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there was a man which had not on a wedding garment. Verse 12, and he said unto him, friend, how camest thou in here not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Verse 13, then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. You are given a chance for salvation directly by grace through faith, because the Jews rejected their invitation to follow God's way of becoming righteous. The Jews had to be removed, and you were grafted into the vine, instead by grace and by accepting the invitation by faith. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, I'm reading. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Verse 3. Grace be unto you, peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. We have received a holy calling, Paul said. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 9, I'm reading. This is 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. Who hath both saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Noah Webster in 1828 also defined holy as properly whole, entire or perfect, in a moral sense. Hence, pure in heart, temper, or dispositions, free from sin and sinful affections. Applied to the Supreme Being, holy signifies perfectly pure, immaculate, and complete in moral character. And man is more or less holy as his heart is more or less sanctified or purified from evil dispositions. We call a man holy when his heart is conformed in some degree to the image of God and his life is regulated by the divine precepts. Hence, holy is used as nearly synonymous with good, pious, or godly. If you reject that invitation, you can also be removed from the vine. Paul said in Romans chapter 11, I'm reading verses 23, 24 and 25. This is Romans chapter 11, verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in again. For God is able to graft them in again. Verse 24. For if thou were cut off out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted in contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, and to the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Time is running out. After the last Gentile is saved, the Jews will have another chance after the seals are opened and the judgments begin on the earth. We read in Revelation chapter 6, starting in verse 1, I'm reading Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 to 4. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." Verse 2. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering to conquer. Verse 3. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." Verse 4. And then went out another horse, and that was red, and the power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. All countries will eventually be conquered and lose their ability through money and power to dominate others, as they do today after this first seal is opened. It is possible that the first seal has been opened. Through this pandemic, richer nations have become dysfunctional through the coronavirus. Only Jesus is worthy to open these seals because he died for all mankind and knows when time has finally run out for those on the earth. The second seal is no peace on the earth and men killing each other. There are more seals to be opened, and after the sixth seal, then the Jews will be delivered in the middle of the tribulation. We read in Revelation chapter 7. I'm reading 13 to 17. This is Revelation chapter 7, starting in verse 13. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And from whence did they come?" Verse 14. And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said to me, "These are they which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Verse 15. "Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sits on the throne shall dwell among them." Verse 16. "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sunlight be upon them, nor any heat." Verse 17, "And the Lamb that is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Only those Jews who do not compromise on their faith in God will be clothed in white. They finally accept the work of Jesus on the cross rather than the blood of animals. By confessing their sins, they get forgiveness, so the blood of Jesus can then be applied to their lives. John said in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You should be living in Christ now, using the blood of Jesus when you come out of his presence. If you stay on the narrow way, you will also be saved. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6, 7, and 8, I'm reading. This is 2 Timothy, chapter 4, starting in verse 6. "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Verse 7. "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Verse 8. "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Paul was seeking righteousness and did not compromise on what the Holy Spirit was telling him to do. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5, 6, and 7, I'm reading. This is 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Verse 6. "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Verse 7. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Those relying on their own power instead will not be ready. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 26, 27, and 28, I'm reading. This is 1 John chapter 2 and verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it is taught you, ye shall abide in him. Verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. The least we have to do is abide in Christ. You have to be hot for Jesus at the time you die or when he appears, whichever comes first. John is saying that if you are not abiding, you will be left behind. Get on the narrow way so that the devil cannot make you comfortable. You have an invitation from God to bear the fruits of the Spirit by yielding to the Spirit and obeying Christ. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 2, every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. God gave the nation of Israel time to repent. He sent the prophets, then he sent his only son, but the Jews rejected him and let him die on the cross. The Jews did not like what Jesus said. He told them plainly that they did not produce the fruits of repentance. If you do not like preaching that talks about the fruits of true repentance, maybe you're a Pharisee as well. You're either becoming like Christ or you're becoming like a modern Pharisee. You're either a disciple of Christ or a disciple of the devil. There is no third choice. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If you've rejected the invitation to make Jesus Lord, then you cannot produce the right fruit. Without the Holy Spirit and making him Lord, you can do nothing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 21, I'm reading verses 42, 43, and 44. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 21, and verse 42. And Jesus said unto them, did ye ever read in the Scriptures that the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Verse 43, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Verse 44, and whoever shall fall on the stone shall be broken, and on whomsoever it shall fall, it shall grind him to powder. Through abiding and making Jesus Lord, you are kept clean under the new covenant. Those who are using their minds trying to be righteous according to the written word or the law will be left behind. The process of getting ready relies on responding to truth and conviction. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, I'm reading. This is Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Verse 3. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? The new covenant is more than just confessing a sin every time you make a mistake. You also have the ability now to hear and obey. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your consciences from dead works to serve the living God? Nothing is too hard for God. God can change you, but you have to follow the instructions to follow Christ. We read in Luke 9:23, and he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." We do not just deny ourselves once a week. It's daily. The Jews in the wilderness also ignored the simple instructions of Moses. We read in Exodus 16:15-21. I'm reading Exodus 16:15. "And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, 'It is manna.' We don't know what it was. And Moses said unto them, 'This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat.'" Verse 16. "This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather it of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." Verse 17. "And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more and some less." Verse 18. "And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating." Verse 19. "And Moses said, 'Let no man leave of it till the morning.'" Verse 20. "Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it unto the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was angry with them." Verse 21. "And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun became hot, it melted." The word manna in Strong's is number 4478. So another word literally means, "What is this?" This is the manna. The Jews did not know what to call the food that God provided. This manna just appeared every morning, except on the Sabbath. It's like the word that you need for your spiritual life. In the wilderness, it was physical food for a large amount of people that could not feed themselves without a miracle or the power of God. We also read in John 6:35. "And Jesus said unto them, 'I am the bread of life, and he that comes to me shall not hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst.'" Learn to hear the Lord and do whatever he tells you to do each day, and you will never hunger or thirst. Some Jews were even collecting manna on the Sabbath day, and they were told not to do this. We read in Exodus 16. I'm reading verses 22 all the way to verse 29. This is Exodus 16:22. "And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, 2 omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses." Verse 23. "And he said unto them, 'This is what the Lord hath said. Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you bake today, and seethe that which you seethe, and that which remains over lay up for you to be kept unto the morning.'" Verse 24. "And they laid it up to the morning as Moses told them, and it did not stink, neither was there any worms therein." Verse 25. "And Moses said, 'Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field.'" Verse 26. "6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none." Verse 27. "And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none." Verse 28. "And the Lord said to Moses, 'How long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws?'" Verse 29. "See, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, and let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." The Jews in the wilderness all perished except Caleb and Joshua. It was not just those who took the manna on the Sabbath day that died. The Jewish Sabbath is a picture of the millennial reign and his lordship. Jesus said in Matthew 11, verses 28, 29, and 30, I'm reading. This is Matthew 11 and verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You cannot have rest without being yoked to Jesus. The rest God offers is not based on doing nothing one day a week. The true Sabbath is based on doing whatever he tells you to do 7 days a week. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 to 10, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. Verse 10, for he that is entered into the rest has also ceased from his own labors as God did from his. Everything right now is being shaken so that you can realize that you have not entered that rest and repent before it's too late. The reason you have not entered the rest is because of your own unbelief. That unbelief will hinder your faith. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 6 to 9, I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 4, starting in verse 6. Seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Verse 7. Again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Verse 8. For if Jesus had given them rest, then they would not afterwards have spoken of another day. Verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. You have faith in God, but you may also have unbelief. We read in Mark chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. I'm reading Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Verse 24. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. For more information on hindrances to faith, please read the chapter on hindrances to faith in the book Light by Joseph Hedgecock. Unbelief in you comes from listening to lies at a time when you're in the flesh or living in the kingdom of darkness. You will have to humble yourself now, submit to God, and get rid of the devil. James said in James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, but he gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You only choose to believe lies and depart from the truth because you wanted something in this world that you thought God would not give you otherwise. James said in James chapter 1 and verses 12 to 15, I'm reading. This is James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Verse 13. Let no man say that when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. You have to choose between the crown of life and your own lordship. When God put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, he also put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil at one end and the tree of life at the other. Then he told Adam not to take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God gave mankind a free will. Everyone must now choose between life coming from the knowledge that God provides and the knowledge you can get yourself without asking God. The devil will tell you to think, not to listen or seek God. If you want the knowledge he provides, it includes a personal relationship with God and getting to know him and understanding him by becoming like a little child. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." God promises that if you seek his kingdom and his righteousness with all your heart, he will take care of everything else. This is simple. You will receive the crown of life too if you endure temptation and do not do what everyone else living in this world says you must do. We read in John 14 and verse 6, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." The only right thing to do now is to do whatever the Holy Spirit says by faith. The world cannot come to truth without Jesus. Jesus said in John 16 and verses 13 and 14, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come." Verse 14, "And he shall glorify me, and he shall receive of mine, and show it unto you." Repent if you've already compromised on obeying the Holy Spirit, as it's easier to make excuses again for not doing the will of God. You must not follow your own Bible principles, but ask God and follow Jesus. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 25 to 28, I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. "See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escape not who refused him that spoke on the earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven." Verse 26. "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." Verse 27, "And this word, yet once more, signified the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." Verse 28, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear." The heavens as well, not just the earth, will be shaken in these last days. The climate is changing too. Due to reduced amounts of air travel, the atmosphere has found a new balance, enough to cause some significant changes in the weather already. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, I'm reading verses 39 to 43. This is Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 24 and verse 39. "And you not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Verse 40. "Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left." Verse 41. "Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, the other left." Verse 42. "Watch therefore, you know not what hour your Lord does come." Verse 43, "But know this, that if the good man of the house had known at what time the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." Carnal Christians are not seeking the Lord for fresh manna before they do anything, or ask permission before they do something. They are busy doing their own will instead. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, I'm reading. This is Galatians chapter 6 and verse 8. "For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Verse 9. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Carnal Christians believe that they can do whatever they like and sow to the flesh as long as they say a prayer for God to bless the work. Keith Green released a song on 9th of November in 1978 called Asleep in the Light. Some of the lyrics are below. Oh, bless me, Lord. You know it's all I ever hear. No one aches, no one hurts. No one even sheds one tear. But he cries, he weeps, he bleeds, he cares for your needs. And you just lay back and keep soaking it in. Oh, can't you see it's such a sin? The world is sleeping in the dark that the church can't fight, 'cause it's asleep in the light. How can you be so dead when you've been so well fed? Jesus rose from the grave and you can't even get out of bed. Jesus rose from the dead. Come on, get out of your bed. Normally you might find some comfort in the countryside where the air is clear or where there is peace and quiet. But during these last days, even the environment and surrounding countryside will not bring any peace. Those who went on a short holiday found their flights being cancelled at the last minute. The only safe place is the kingdom of God. Paul said in Romans 14 and verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." You are also put in the kingdom of God on the first day of your salvation, because you were just a baby at the time. And this was more like an emergency airlift, because the devil loves to eat baby Christians. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 12 to 17, I'm reading. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Verse 13. "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Verse 14. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Verse 15. "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." Verse 16. "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." Verse 17. "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." The shaking going on now is not for the world, but is part of God's love for the church. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 to 19, I'm reading. This is Revelation chapter 3, verse 15. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you would be cold or hot." Verse 16. "So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth." Verse 17. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." Verse 18. "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear. Anoint thy eyes with eye salver, that thou may see." Verse 19. "For as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent." Many have been told that they are ready for his appearing, because they are born again, but they are not. Only the bride is ready now. We read in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. Let him that is athirst, come. And whoever will, let him take the water of life freely." If you are not ready, you are not part of the bride. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, I'm reading. This is 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? You have nothing to fear if you are living in the kingdom of God, of his dear Son. Jesus is the one through whom all things were created, and no power exists without him. He will make you ready if you submit to his correction. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You abide in the kingdom by grace, and through faith you repent of whatever he shows you. Faith without works is dead. And if you keep repenting, then also you become like Jesus, and you are like the firstborn son, and can also do the things directed by your heavenly Father. Paul spoke about Jesus and said in Hebrews chapter 10, I'm reading verses 7 to 13. This is Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book, as is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Verse 8. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldst not, neither had thy pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Verse 9. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. And he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Verse 10. By the which we are all sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Verse 12. But this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Verse 13. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. God is in control, but for a limited time, the enemies of God are prospering on the earth. This is mainly to give everyone more time to repent. And those who are following Christ have to be willing to endure this time. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, I'm reading verses 6 to 10. This is 2 Peter chapter 3 and starting verse 6. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Verse 8. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Verse 9. And the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. God's timing will be perfect, and he will not be late. The kingdom of God is here now, so that through the Holy Spirit, you can enjoy righteousness, peace, and joy by using your faith daily, hearing and obeying. Jesus said in John 3 and verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Amplified Bible defines those who believe in him as those who cleave to him, trust him, and rely on him. You have to follow Jesus, not some guide to all the prophecies in the Bible. If you follow Jesus, you have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. But that's not popular. Many see this as the hard way because they have listened to the devil instead through using their natural mind. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way." Verse 14, "Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads unto life, and few there be that find it." You need to get to know God, not just know about him. Jesus said in John 10, I'm reading John 10, 27 to 30. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10, starting in verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Verse 28, "And I give unto them eternal life, that they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand." Verse 29, "My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Verse 30, "I and my Father are one." Only those who hear, get to know, and follow him will never perish. We read in Proverbs 14 and verse 12, "There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Thinking is dangerous. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 11 to 13, I'm reading. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. "Now all these things happened unto them for our examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Verse 12. "Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall." Verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you but that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Make no excuse for sin if you want to be ready. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. I'm reading. This is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him." Verse 2. "That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Verse 3. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Paul said there would be a falling away from the truth within the body of Christ. When the leavening in the church is nearly complete, there will be no more warnings. When the last Gentile is saved, that can be saved, this period will end. The salvation of the Gentiles was a mystery hidden in the Bible. We read in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 7, "Be not wise in their own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Those who are ready now have already departed from evil. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 19, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Iniquity is departing from the truth, and many in the church will be making excuses right up to the last day. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 22 and 23, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, starting in verse 22, "And many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Verse 23, "Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." The first judgment is for those who are born again and not yet part of the bride. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25, I'm reading verses 1 to 5. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, starting in verse 1. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." Verse 2. "And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish." Verse 3. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Verse 4. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Verse 5. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Being a virgin in this parable implies that you are just born again and unattached to any other lover. James said in James chapter 4 and verse 4, "You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore would be a friend of this world is the enemy of God." Many are getting ready to meet the bridegroom because of the signs of the time. However, they are still carnal and clinging to this world. Jesus said in Luke chapter 17, verses 32 and 33. This is Luke 17 and verse 32. "Remember Lot's wife," verse 33, "whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." Lot's wife was turned to stone because she still had a love for this world. Abraham was safe, following God. All the virgins fell asleep because the bridegroom tarries. The rapture is for those who've made themselves ready beforehand and do not do things at the last minute. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. This is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. "Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Verse 15. "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." The temptation in this world is what puts both the wise and the foolish virgins to sleep. Paul also says in Romans chapter 13, verses 11 to 14, I'm reading. This is Romans 13, starting in verse 11. "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Verse 12. "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." Verse 13. "Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying." Verse 14. "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If you are in the flesh, when he comes, you will be left behind." You have to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, not the Savior Jesus Christ. Do not deceive yourself. There is a difference. Making Jesus your Savior will not save you. This is not on the menu. Jesus said in Matthew 24, starting in verse 44 and reading to verse 51. This is Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 44. "Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not that the Son of Man comes." Verse 45. "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season?" Verse 46. "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing." Verse 47. "Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods." Verse 48. "But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming." Verse 49. "And shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken." Verse 50. "The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of it." Verse 51. "And shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." If you want to be saved, you have to forsake your life and put God first. If you make Jesus Lord, then your soul will be saved. Jesus said in Luke 9, 24 and 25. I'm reading. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. For what is a man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself, or be a castaway? Do not assume that things will return to what they were. The darkness is increasing. In October 2018, Joseph said there was something coming in 2019 that would change the world forever. The first recorded case of COVID was in November 2019. Jesus said in John chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, I'm reading. This is John's Gospel, chapter 9 and verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh, and when no man can work. Verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. The government of this world are happy to say things contrary to God's word and enforce their immoral beliefs on other nations. The darkness is coming, and it's based on pure evil. Jesus defined darkness as a time when no one will listen to his teachings, because Jesus is the light of this world, and that is when no man or woman can work. We read in Luke chapter 3, I'm reading verses 3 all the way to verse 8. This is Luke chapter 3, starting in verse 3. And he came unto all the country around Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Verse 4. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Verse 5. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. Verse 6. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Verse 7. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say to within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. The priority is now on repentance and producing the fruit of the Spirit. There is no solution for all the natural disasters and difficulties on this earth without repentance and doing the works he has assigned for you to do. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10, I'm reading. This is Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8. For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God had before ordained, that we should walk in them. Those who are ready will be busy about the Father's business right up until Jesus comes. Even in times when there is lockdown or a pandemic, you can learn to be in the right place at the right time and get God's provision. You know exactly when Jesus is coming. Jesus said in Matthew 25, I'm reading verses 6 to 10. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25 and verse 6. And at midnight, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom comes. Go ye out to meet him. Verse 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Verse 8. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. Verse 9. But the wise answered and saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Verse 10. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Jesus is coming at midnight. All the virgins trimmed their lamps so they looked okay, but it was too late. For the foolish virgins, they had no spiritual wisdom and relied on natural wisdom instead. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, I'm reading verses 24 to 27. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for the body and what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither do they gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? Verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Get some spiritual wisdom now by denying yourself completely. Do not be foolish and leave it to the last minute when there is no time left to do your repentance properly. And get to the root of sin. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seems to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. Now is the time to learn to hear his voice. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 and verses 20, 21 and 22, I'm reading. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Verse 21. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcome and am sat down with my Father in his throne. Verse 22. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Many carnal leaders say God gave us a brain, he expects us to use it. But these are the ones who will get left behind. You have to pay a price to follow Jesus. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 10. I'm reading. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Verse 8. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You need to learn obedience now. Jesus did. We read in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 to 9. I'm reading Hebrews chapter 5, starting in verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications, with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Verse 8. Though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Verse 9. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He is coming soon. And there'll be not enough time to get to know him if you do not take the oil with you and function spiritually between the time the alarm is sounded and the time he appears. Jesus continued in Matthew chapter 25. I'm reading verses 11 to 13. This is Matthew chapter 25 and verse 11. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Verse 12. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Verse 13. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes. Just watching the signs will not help you either. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, I'm reading verses 25 to 28. This is Luke chapter 21, starting in verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Verse 27, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Verse 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws near. The word look up in Strong's is number 352. It comes from another word which means a sense of reversal. To unbend, that is to rise, figuratively, to be elated, to lift up or look up. Jesus said, when these things start to happen on the earth and fear is increasing, you should unbend, look up and rise up. This word look up does not mean it's time to fight or attack the immoral governments. Paul said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 to 4, I'm reading. This is 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not by filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Verse 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. Verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. A humble person always has their heads down. In this period of grace, before the tribulation starts, you are to be clothed with humility. Peter continued in 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm reading verses 5 to 7. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Verse 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that you may exalt you in due time. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. But that does not mean you submit to the devil. Peter continued in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, we read. This is 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. The afflictions that Peter is talking about come from bending over backwards, giving people a chance to hear your testimony and repent as the world is becoming more evil. You have to testify and witness to others by also living the holy life and not compromising. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. For you to look up, you have to unbend. I believe this also means that you are not flexible with those who do not want to listen to Jesus' teaching. It also means to be elated and excited too. So that means you're not angry or judgmental towards those who are sinning on the earth. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. I'm reading. This is Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set your affections on things above, not on things on this earth. Verse 3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. You should not be anxious about anything on this earth at all if you want to be ready. Your salvation is at stake. If God tells you to be concerned about anything else, he will drop a thought into your mind accordingly. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20 and 21, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Paul was writing to those who had lost loved ones because they refused to deny Christ and died in the face of severe persecution. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians verses 13 to 18, I'm reading. This is 1 Thessalonians starting in verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others who have no hope. Verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive will remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we be with the Lord. Verse 18. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Only those who do not deny Christ will come back with Jesus. God has hardened the hearts of the leaders in these last days, so that he can do his miracles again as he did bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. Those who oppose God will be humbled and be given a chance to repent. The devil might think this is his opportunity for him, but it's not. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness. Verse 20. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Before the saints departed out of Egypt, there was a hardening of Pharaoh's heart. Moses was not afraid. We read what God said to Moses in Exodus chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. This is Exodus chapter 7 and verse 3. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Verse 4. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. Peter said in 1 Peter 5 that he saw the suffering of Christ with his own eyes, but he also saw the glory. We read the account in Luke 9. I'm starting in verse 28, and I'm reading all the way to verse 36. This is Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 28. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. Verse 29. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. Verse 30. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah. Verse 31. Who appeared in glory and spoke of his decrees, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Verse 32. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. Verse 33. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. Verse 34. While he spoke, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. Verse 35. And there came a voice out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. Verse 36. And when the voice was past, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close, and told no man in those days any of these things which they had seen. Peter experienced the kingdom of God and saw Moses and Elijah, who are also the two witnesses mentioned in the book of Revelation. And they are still alive, and they will come back and confront the governments of this world about their reality of sin. We read in Revelation chapter 11, verses 3 all the way to verse 12, I'm reading. Revelation chapter 11, starting in verse 3. And I will give power unto my witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Verse 4, and these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before God of the earth. Verse 5, and if any man will hurt them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. Verse 6, and these have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over water to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. Verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast and that ascended out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them and kill them. Verse 8. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Verse 9. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half, and shall not suffer their bodies be put in graves. Verse 10. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry, and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. Verse 11. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Verse 12. And they heard a great voice from heaven, saying unto them, Come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. The two witnesses arrive in the city of Jerusalem, appear center stage, and begin to cause problems. They are dressed in sackcloth, not dressed in white, preaching the prosperity-style gospel. They are preaching repentance for those who have not yet accepted the mark of the beast. No one will be able to stop the two witnesses prophesying for 3.5 years about destruction coming on those who hate God and love this world. No one will be able to overcome them until God allows the beast to kill them. In that short time afterwards, the people of the earth are all rejoicing rather than repenting. This will take place in the last great shaking of the earth called the tribulation. When Jesus first sent out his disciples, this is what Jesus said in Mark 6 and verse 11. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. World governments are not embarrassed to express laws that are evil and contrary to clear scripture and enforce this on others. God has something to say about this. Governments of the world are not listening. The first seal may have been opened already in Revelation chapter 6. The world is now in the middle of a pandemic. that has been used as an exercise to close churches, especially larger gatherings, have been stopped in many parts of the world where there is a dense population. It's also possible that some of these churches are not pleasing to God anyway. David said in Psalm 51, I'm reading verses 14 to 17. This is Psalm 51 and verse 14. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Verse 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and in my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest not in burnt offerings. Verse 17. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. The church is in a critical stage where many will be left behind. Doing good things cannot replace the need to hear God personally. Even some leaders who hear God in ministry but do not ask God the small things of life will be left behind because they did not use the grace to get to know God. Only a remnant will be saved before the great tribulation starts. Half of the church is using the wisdom of the world, and the other half is using the wisdom of God that comes by the Spirit. It's not enough just to be born again. The bride is ready now. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 and 4. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 3. And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become like a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I believe the world has put their hope in a vaccine, and it may help the elderly and the innocent and give them time to repent. However, God's solution in these last days is true repentance from all sin. Governments opening the door for the devil to rule are also the cause of God's anger. The majority just want the world to go back to the way it was before this pandemic started, but time has run out. For the world to go back to the way it was before this pandemic without deep repentance is mocking God. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and make the decision to start on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience your salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not let the devil turn you away from trusting God fully. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Guilty Prison, the revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today has been a wonderful privilege to share with you a message about looking up. I pray that this war does not have any hold on you. I pray that you are concerned about spiritual things. You're not concerned about your life. You don't care about your life. That you care only about one thing, and that is to please your Heavenly Father, to hear His voice, and to do exactly what He says. I pray that you have that relationship with Him now, that you are wed with Him, that you are ready to serve and follow Him wherever He goes. You are like Abraham. You're already living in the wilderness, but you're not poor. You're not suffering. You are enjoying that intimacy with Him right now, no matter what you're going through. And that is your food. That is your joy. I pray that you will shine like lights in this dark, dark world that loves sin. Let me pray for those who are listening to this message. Father, I know you've been speaking very clearly to those who are not right with you, and they're not ready right now. But Father, if in this moment, as they've heard these scriptures, that they prepare their heart to follow you 100%, I pray right now they will count the cost. They will decide that whatever suffering or tribulation or difficulties or hardships come, whatever they lose in this world, it doesn't matter to them. That they make that decision right now to get on that narrow way, to follow no matter what, to listen to your voice and to learn to hear and obey. Father, I pray for them right now to make that decision in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. I hope you've enjoyed listening to this message. Afterwards, you have some contact details. God bless you.